Welcome to the Embodiment Conference. This is truly an epic event that is raising awareness and revealing just how much is happening in the world of embodiment. And this gives me hope about where we're heading as a people. I'm Amara Pagano. I'm the founder of Azul, a conscious movement path of personal transformation. I work with the body and the power of movement to awaken love and consciousness. Embodiment is a key to my work. And the journey of embodying the map of Azul is what facilitates the process of self-realization. I'm excited to sponsor the Dance and Creativity Channel to share my love of movement and to celebrate the power that it has to serve our collective evolution. If you are interested in awakening your deepest potential or curious about the spiritual and healing aspects of embodiment, I encourage you to check out Azul. Everyone is welcome. I work with people who love movement and people who have never moved. Follow the link and you'll find three gifts for you: a 50-minute Azul journey, a special discount on our online embodiment training, and a free month in our upcoming membership program. So come, check out the Path of Azul. I'll be presenting on the main stage here and in the Dance and Creativity Channel, and I hope to see you there. For now, enjoy the richness of the presentation you're about to see.
This session is called The Joy of Improvisation, Bypassing Your Inner Critic and Finding Flow. So this is the Dance and Creativity Channel for the Embodiment Conference, and our speaker today is Liz Peters. So Liz is an award-nominated performer, improviser, coach, and author of the book Own It, How to Boss Your Fears, Free Your Voice, and Inspire the Room. She teaches improvisation around the world and is working to improve human communication and how we connect and collaborate with each other. And she's also a certified embodiment facilitator and contributor on leadership programs in many global organizations. So Liz, take it away. We will sort this screen out so that you are visible.
Thank you, Jamie.
There we go.
Lovely. Thank you so much. And hello, everybody. Yes, as Jamie said, my name is Liz and I am an improviser. This means that I go on stages around the world without a script, and we create the show live in the moment. And then afterwards, we find out what it was that we did. Now, when I tell people that this is what I do, often what people will say back is, "Oh, you're really brave. I could never do that." But here's the thing. I'm not brave. I'm not any different to anyone else. I still feel the fear. I still have the critical voice. I just find ways to sort of move through that and get on. And secondly, you can do it, because you do it every single day. You do it every moment of your life. Your entire life is improvised. There is no script. So improv training, for me, yes, it is an art form, but above and beyond that, improv training is essentially ninja level life training, because the skills that we learn to be spontaneous, to be creative, to be able to be expressive and deal with the unexpected and come back up laughing and winning, these are the same skills that we need to do in life as well. So essentially, it's improv skills is life skills, and that's why I love it so much. So even if you're never ever going to step on an improv stage in your entire life, I hope that you'll find some value in today's session. I'm going to give you a couple of tools that we use in improv. We're going to talk a little bit about the inner critic and how to get past that and get out of our own way. And hopefully you'll be able to grab some of this stuff and use it either in your improv lives or in your real world, actual made up lives, and hope that that enriches them for you as well. So my first question out to everybody is, are you a creative genius? Pop your answers in the chat. Are you a creative genius? Let's hear what people have to say about that. Adjust my. Sometimes we've got there. Yes, I can be when I'm in a flow state. Yes, I am indeed. No, definitely not really. Very shy, I can be. Great. So a real mixture of responses, perhaps. Sometimes my friends tell me that. I need those friends. So lots of people coming up with answers there. My answer to you is yes, I think you are a creative genius. I think you, if you don't think you are, I think it's mainly that you have forgotten. So in 1968, NASA, big old NASA, very creative, they commissioned someone called Dr. George Land to create a specialized creative genius test. This was to measure the innovative potential of their rocket scientists and engineers. And so they gave, Dr. Land gave them the tests, and 2% of adults came up as creative genius in the category of imagination, just 2%. Dr. Land then gave the test to 1,600 4- and 5-year-olds. And how many percent of those do you think came up as creative genius in the category of imagination? Hit me with some numbers. What do you think? 4- and 5-year-olds. 95%. You're very close, Lisa. You are very close. 100%. Not quite. It was 98%. 98% of the 4- and 5-year-olds came up as creative geniuses. And the scientists were, of course, flabbergasted. There's in a sense of, have we just picked an amazing group of children here? So they tested the same children, exactly the same group of children. They tested them at age 10, so 5 years later. And that level, that number had dropped to 30%. And then they tested the children again 5 years later, and it had dropped again to 12%. And then, of course, when we get to the adults, we had only 2% creative genius. So what happens? What happens to us? Well, when we're kids, when we're young, we're unafraid. We express ourselves freely. We let our imaginations run wild. We just go, we just let it all out. We go, we don't have a problem with that. But as we get a little bit older, we start to learn about critical thinking. We go through the school system and we start to learn about getting the right answer and doing things correctly and passing tests. And we become evaluative of ourselves. We start to judge ourselves and become much more critical. So like an onion that gets tougher and tougher protective layers, this core of our playful, expressive, imaginative selves that's in there, that is in 98% of us, it gets harder and harder to reach. So yeah, what were people saying in the chat? Yeah, education happens. It gets conditioned out of us. This is exactly what happens. But it's not all doom and gloom, because we can get it back. And that's what I love about improv. It helps us to peel back some of those onion layers so we can let out this expressive, creative, spontaneous, playful, imaginative genius again. So what it is that scientists have figured out about it is that we have two different modes of thinking when it comes to creativity. We have divergent thinking. This is big picture thinking, possibilities, exploring and a very open way of thinking. And then we have convergent thinking. And this is critical analysis, evaluation, judgment making choices. One is basically an accelerator for creativity and the other is a break. So what we do when we're kids is we have this divergent thinking, yay, let's play, woo. And as we get older and we learn about convergent critical thinking, we as adults start to try and do these two processes at the same time. But they are two entirely different processes. And so we end up with accelerator and brake, accelerator and brake on our creativity, and not a flowing, free-flowing creative state. So as adults, we don't want to smash these two processes together. They're both valuable, creativity and critique, but they're separate. So we want to keep them separate. And this is why I love improv. There's people talking about buzzing. I wonder if that's from
Liz, I was just going to jump in. I didn't want to interrupt you in flow, okay. But yeah, I think it's your microphone. So maybe try unplugging and replugging in your headset. Okay. I'm just worried that that will cut your sound out altogether.
That's all right. No worries.
Nope, now it's gone completely quiet. This is why I'm always worried about unplugging and replugging in headsets.
No worries. How is that?
Oh, there we go.
Is that good?
Yeah, that's really clear. That's better. So, we don't have the echo now.
Oh, okay. Well, what I've done is completely removed my microphone.
So, excellent. Let's do that.
There we go. We won't use that anymore. I'll just throw that over there. All good? Do we have... This is improv. Yes, exactly that. Exactly that. All right, good. So sorry about the buzzing there. Buzzing happened. Buzzing has ended. What was I talking about? I was talking about, so we have these two processes, and in improv, we separate out those processes. So we stay more in this divergent mode. And that is a term you've probably heard in relation to improv. We call it yes and. I'm sure if you've heard anything about improv before, you've heard of this term, yes and. I take the reality that is presented to me and I build on that. Yes and, accept and build. So I want you to take a moment where you are, just to get a sense of this word, yes and. So put your feet on the floor, your bum on the chair, or whatever it is you're sitting on, and perhaps close your eyes for a moment and just let that phrase drop into your body. Yes, and. Yes, and. Notice what it feels like. Yes, and. So maybe pop a couple of words in the chat. What is the sensation that comes to you when I say the words yes and you drop it into your body? Any sensation at all? Happy, expansion, wonderment. It feels open, open, open. Yeah, three people, open. Peace, excitement, curiosity, fluid, open again, possibility. Beautiful, beautiful, bubbly and dangerous. I like the sound of that. Great. All right, shake that off. Okay, and now back into your body. I want you to drop in the word yes, but. Okay, so the opposite of yes and, but not exactly no, because I'm English, and in English we're terrible at saying no, but yes, but. Yes, but. Notice it, notice what's happening in your body with yes, but. Argumentative, resistance, doubt, limiting, contraction, apprehension, contraction, wrong, hesitation, closed, closing, closing. Exactly. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Let that go, because no one likes to be in all that doubt and contraction and horribleness for ages. So that's the felt sense of these two different modes: divergent, open, possibility, expansion, convergent, contraction, closing. That's how it feels in our bodies to do that, to take those two different modes. Let's see now what happens to what the result is of the two different modes. So I've got two boxes here. This is box number one. This is my yes and box. I'm going to have box number two here as well. This is my yes but box. Can someone in the chat just give me a one word or so description about my box, and I'll yes and that. So something about this box, anything at all. It has a red star on it. Brilliant. So this is my box. Yes, and it has a red star on it. Yes, and that star is covered in glitter. Yes, and on that glitter is a tiny little golden ring. Yes, and on that golden ring, there is a little piece of paper that says, Liz, will you marry me? And there is my box with the yes and, simply from the pink star, the red star that I was given at the beginning. I've just yes anded it, yes anded it. So this is my yes but box, a yes but. So this is my box. Yes, but wouldn't it have been better if it was a bowl? Yes, but I haven't got a bowl. Yes, but maybe you should get a bowl. Yes, but. And so we go on and we're not creating something here at all. So my yes and box has got a fantastic sparkliness happening and my yes but just doesn't get started. Much like the embodiment of the yes but, it contracts, it closes, it's argumentative. So we really want to get into this open space, this yes and mode. And this is where we find our flow and find our ability to improvise. We yes and, we don't judge, we take what's offered, and we keep on going, and we just keep on going, open and expansive. Now that's not to say that we don't have inner critic, and we don't have critical voice, and the critical voice is bad. That's not to say that at all. In fact, one of the reasons that I love improv so much is because I have quite a loud inner critic. It gives me a lot of yip, yap, dap, 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 all the time. But when I get into the state for improvisation, when I get into connected with my scene partner, with my open possibilities, then it goes away and I get a little bit of a break from it. So that's one reason why I really, really love it so much, because I have to be 100% present. There isn't time for the inner critic to come in. So inner critic, I think we all have it. Give me a yes in the chat. Give me a whoa, whatever you want. If you have an inner critic, maybe you call it your chimp. Yeah, we've got some visuals here from some people in the panel there of what it feels like. Hell yes, yes, yes. We've got evil oik. I like that. Monkey mind, poison parrot. Ah, putain. Thank you. Yes, the forbidder. Great. So we have so many different names for it. And everybody I know experiences it. I don't know if everyone in the world does because I'm only one person, but everybody I know experiences some kind of. And this is it. The inner critic, it gets a bad reputation, right? Because we don't enjoy the feeling of all the voice giving us all, nip, nip, nip. We don't enjoy it. So it gets a bit of a bad reputation. But the inner critic is just doing its job. It is just trying to help. It's trying to protect us. As we learned, as we grew up, these protective layers, this is the inner critic. The inner critic is a fear of failing, a fear of being wrong, and a fear of shame. It is essentially the voice that we have in our head is a fear of what other people will think of us. Fear of what other people will think of us. And it's totally normal and it's totally human and it is just a part of how we are. And it is doing a good job for us because if I make a real shameful mess of myself up here and you all decide that you hate me, you could really turn on me. You could come at me with pitchforks. That would be pretty bad. Or you could decide to keep me out of the tribe, to keep me out of the gang. And if I'm out of the gang, then I might not get any food. I might not get protected. I might get eaten by the wolves. So it is a very, it is a very, very human and natural thing to have this inner critic voice. It is just trying to protect us. It is just trying to protect us. But in improv, we don't really need this much protection all the time. And we don't really need this much protection in life all the time either. And the trouble with this inner critic voice is that it keeps us stuck in our heads. It keeps us from moving forward. It keeps us from taking action. We're just living in this noisy head. But life doesn't happen in our heads. Life happens out here in the moment. So we need to get out of our heads and get away from the inner critic so we can get into action. So as improvisers, we know this. We know that in order to, for us not to be clinging to the edge of the stage, terrified of making a move because the voice is saying that everything I'm saying is stupid and you think I'm an idiot and why didn't they bring someone else better on stage because blah, 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 blah. That's going to keep me stuck to the sides, not making any moves, not doing anything. That's going to be a terrible show. And if that is also how you're feeling in life, clinging to the walls and afraid to make a move, it's not going to be a terribly enriching life. So we want to get out of here and into here. So as improvisers, we have to learn to change our response to failure and to fear and to just embrace it as part of it, to use it. And there are three ways that we can do this. Three ways. One way in which we can change our response to failure and our fear of failure is to see mistakes as opportunities, not as reality gone wrong. We have a phrase in improv, every mistake is a gift. So we'll often find that the most fun stuff happens when somebody messes up, as long as we yes and this, principle one, yes and whatever happens and move it forward. So we change our response to failure and see it as a gift. There are many examples in history of moments when things went catastrophically wrong and a re-engineered response turned it into a win. For example, post-it notes, the glue for the post-it note, the person who invented that, or the team that invented that, originally, they were trying to create glue for the airline industry. They were trying to create glue to hold an aircraft together in the sky in high winds and have it stick together all the way across the Atlantic. Okay, so that, when they came up with this glue that's on post-it notes, was of course a complete disaster. Not fit for purpose, massive fail, real bad job. But if you take the improviser mindset of yes and changing response to failure, someone was able to take that catastrophically rubbish glue and find a new way of using it. And so that's how the post-it note glue was born. We have the airline industry to thank for that. So thank you, the airline industry, for messing up. So that's one way of doing it. One way we change our response to failure. We see the mistake as a gift. The second thing we can do is shift our embodiment around failure. All right. So let's do that now. Let's get everybody, if you can, to get up out of your chairs, if you can. If you can't, don't worry. That's no problem. I don't mind. Great. Okay, and we're going to do something. It's going to go wrong. It's going to fail. And when it does fail, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to do a great big hooray. And you can do about, I nearly smashed my own head then on the top of my chair. That would have been a fail, wouldn't it? Hooray. Do a great big hooray and a bow, okay? This is something that acrobats do when they've fallen to shift the embodied memory of falling. If you're not into bowing, like, that's fine. You can do a failure dance, okay? As long as it moves, as long as you move. So you can be like, yeah, as long as it's a movement, okay? That's the main thing. We've got to shift the embodied response. All right. If you are someone who has hands and you can use them, let's try this. If not, I will give you something else to do in just a moment. So put one finger and one thumb up like this, and then change to the other finger and thumb like this, and the other one. You should only have one finger and one thumb up at the same time. All right, you're going to get faster, and you're going to get faster, and you're going to get faster, and eventually you're going to mess this up. And when you mess it up, like I'm doing, I want you to say, hooray, shake it off and get back to it. Okay, so fingers and thumbs, get faster, get faster. Notice if your body contracts as you try to get this right. You're not going to get it right. You're not going to get it right. Hooray! Hooray! One more time. I've already failed! Yes! So that's what we can do. We can shift our embodied response to messing things up. If you aren't able to use your hands, here is a tongue twister you can try. I wish to wash an Irish wristwatch, okay? I wish to wash an Irish wristwatch. Okay, so say that a few times, and if you get it wrong, just give yourself a great big hooray, shake it off. If you want to ninja yourself as much as possible, why not do two hands and the tongue twister at the same time? I wish to wash an Irish wristwatch. I wish to wash an Irish wristwatch. I wish to wash an Irish wristwatch. Okay, shaking it off. Great. So this is key. The movement when we fail is absolutely key, because as we were talking earlier about the inner critic and the critical thinking, it's this sense of being stuck, closed, contracted. Okay, when we mess stuff up, the instinct is to go, messed it up. Okay, this is not going to help you to flow. So it's movement when it goes wrong. That's why people talk about shaking stuff off, shake it off, because it works. Okay, so we enjoy that as part of your toolkit. Next time you mess something up, hooray! And throughout the rest of the session today as well, use this tool. Anytime something goes wrong, use it. So our third thing that we can do with failure is exposure therapy. Yes, exposure therapy to failure. Right. In improv, we have a safe place to expand our window of tolerance to messing up, which is a lovely thing to have, because there are no consequences. Yes, our lives are improvised, and sometimes there is consequences with what we do, but in improv there are no consequences, right? Like breathing on a glass and then writing your name in it, moments later that thing has gone. It doesn't matter, it's gone completely. Much like every moment in life, in fact, is gone completely the moment after you've done it. But in improv, there is no consequences at all. So we develop an abundance mentality of going for it loads of times until we get used to this muscle memory of, yeah, it's fine. Okay. So we get less attached to every thought. We loosen our grip. So this is my challenge to you in this next exercise. All right. You're going to imagine here in front of you, you have a great big box. It's not like my little golden star box from earlier, but it's your box. And this is called the infinity box. All right. Everything in the known universe and beyond, anything your mind can conceive of, is inside this box, right? Okay, so it's every object, every person, every feeling, every concept, it's all in there. There's nothing that's not in there. Okay, your job is to reach into the box, take something out, name it, and throw it away. reach into the box, take something out, name it, and throw it away. Okay, much like this. Okay, reaching in. Okay, it's a picture of the Queen Mother. It's a pair of juggling balls. It's a lady's bra. It's a coconut cake. Okay, so just reach in, grab it, throw it away. Off you go, go for it. Reach in, grab, throw it away. Reach in, name it, throw it away. Reach in, name it, throw it away. And give it a name out loud. Don't be shy. You can't be wrong. Everything in this box is right. It's a pair of scissors. Dangerous. Throw it away. It's a big beach ball. Throw it away. It is two big stars from the sky. Throw them away. Okay, keep going, keep going. Keep abundance, more, more, more. Beautiful, I can see some lovely throwings of things. This is fantastic. Great, and then you can take a rest there, take a rest. Well done, well done, well done. Okay, how was it? How was it? Was it easy? Was it hard? Let's hear in the chat some things that were in your box or your experience of abundantly. There were tears in the box. Great, great energy, easy peasy. Great. I love your exercise. Thank you. Who knew I had cheese balls in my box? Who knew? Maybe you should see a doctor. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. Earrings and elephants. Great. Metronome, melon, brilliant. Okay, and a couple of people saying, I had pants, I quickly threw them away. Good. Great, so lots of lovely, exciting things coming up. Oh, Brad Pitt in the box, wow, fantastic. Great, a lot of exciting things coming up. And some people saying, well, actually that was harder. That was harder than I thought. And that's fine. I understand that. I do understand. And I would say that if you got stuck in the exercise, if you found it a challenge, I would suggest that there are three reasons why. Reason number one, that you are waiting for a good idea. You were waiting for something good to come out of that box. Okay. So let's remember rule number one, yes. And yes, and that first impulse. Don't wait for a good idea. A good idea is your inner critic telling you that what you've already come up with isn't good enough. But remember, this is an exercise in abundance, in playfulness, in letting it all come out. So don't wait for a good idea. Yes, and your first thing. That will silence the inner critic a little bit. That will stop the get, you're so bad. Why did you pull that out of the box? Right, so throw that away. Okay, so that's probably reason number one. Probably reason number two why you might have found that harder than you thought is because you may have been physically under-committed to the exercise. So you may have been sort of half doing it, kind of, I can't even do it if I'm undercommitted. So you're just sort of half-assed pulling stuff out and not really engaging in it. I find it very difficult to come up with anything when I'm only half energized in it. So being undercommitted when we do things, half doing it, not really going all in, but sort of just trying it out. This is classic inner critic. This is classic fear response. If I don't try, then it doesn't matter if I wasn't good enough. If I don't really give it everything, I could have done, I just didn't. So it's this classic thing, okay? So commitment, really going all in, really giving it some welly, it actually makes it easier. It really, really does. It puts us into outward focused attention and not sort of still trying to keep ourselves all safe and tucked in, etc. So fully commit to it. We're going to do it again in a moment. We need to fully commit to it, like really really reach in, grab something, chuck it away. Like, how much can you engage your whole body in the experience of playing the game? If we engage the whole body, then we shut up the thinking mind a little bit. So that's my tip there. So physically commit, yes, and your first impulses. And another way that you might have found it difficult is because I gave you carte blanche that it could be absolutely anything. And creativity enjoys boundaries. It finds it easier with boundaries. So I'm going to add a little twist to it, which you can choose to add, or if you're fine with what we already did, that's also cool. We're going to do it again. This second twist is, I would like you to start with a sound. Yes, carte blanche is very difficult for me. Yes, read that in the comments. I'd like to start with a sound. And this is a real practice in yes anding your first impulse as well. So you're going to reach into the box with full commitment, as before. There we go. Reach into the box. And as you do it, make a sound that is going to be the start of the next word. So I go in, I go oozing volcano, pa 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 papa linguini pizza, Roehampton University. So we start making a sound, not knowing where it's going to go, and then let ourselves fall into whatever that is. All right. So that's ninja level of it. So you can continue with the practice of physically engaging it. If you want to add these sounds to trigger your imagination, go for it. Fall into the sound that you make. All right, go for it. Reach into your boxes, go for it again. Picture of the Queen. Wagamama's tickets, fantastic. Row your boat down the stream. Yes, super noodles. What are noodles coming out of my box today? Wagamamas. Keep going. Don't be shy. Be abundant. Keep it up. Yes. Lovely. Really nice. Good. Give yourself a break there. Give yourself a round of applause, you legends. Great. I'd love to hear anything that came out of your boxes. Cheese balls this time. The sound was hard. So it helped a lot. So different people, different vibes, you know, different humans. Some people will find things helpful, feeling energized. I had a kangaroo that sounded like Kermit. My grandmother, a tantalizing time bomb. These are all lovely things. Sound is easier. I'm a musician. Great. Fluffy toys. I pulled myself out the box. Hooray! Great. So lovely. Lots of stuff happening there. So some people finding it easier to use the sound to, where am I going to go? To start something. Some people are finding that really, really helpful. Some people finding that less helpful. That's fine. Use what you want. Take what you want. I nearly pulled out my mother, but quickly left her in there. Beautiful. Well, make sure you give her a sandwich or perhaps some cheese balls to keep her going while she's in there. All righty. So, threw out my ex-boyfriend. Well done. Good stuff. Great. So the other thing, of course, so we've had these things, the using the stimulus of our own voice to sort of fall in, and letting go of failure with a big shaking it off, and being yes-anding ourselves. And the other really key element for us as improvisers, and hopefully with our lives as well, is to just find the fun, follow the fun. It doesn't need to be hard work, and we are much more creative. We are much more expressive when we are having fun. When we are not having fun, we start to close up, and we end up in this, as we talked about, the inner critic, the contracted, the convergent. And when we have fun, we have outward focused attention, we're playful, and we are much more able to stay in this mode. So we're going to do another exercise now, and I encourage you to go with full levels of commitment and playfulness with this one. Okay, I want to use some things that I've seen in the chat from what you pulled out of your boxes earlier on. I'm going to use these for this next exercise. So we've been doing it with the mind so far. We're going to use now the body a little bit more as well. I'm going to name an object from the chat, and you're going to instantly just become the essence of the object. Just become it. If you're already thinking, I don't know how to become cheesy balls, don't worry. There's no right way to be cheesy balls. There is no right way. Whatever you do is the right thing. But that boils us back to that first point of yes and that first impulse. If you don't yes and it, you're going to allow the vacuum to open up where the inner critic will tell you that that is not the way to do cheesy balls. We don't have time for that. So yes and it immediately. Whatever your first impulse is, physically just do it. Just do it and the rest will follow. If that's a sound, if that's a physical movement, yes and that, do that. Commit fully to whatever it is you're doing, remembering it's much, much easier if we go all in, much, much easier. And if you do freeze and go, I don't know how to be her mother, then what do you do? Shake it off. Alrighty. So I'm going to use, I'm going to say some things in the chat, from the chat from our infinity boxes earlier on. Just become them. I'll become them too, so you don't feel like you're doing this alone, but don't copy me. You're you. You're awesome. You are awesome. Okay, here's some things that people pulled out of the boxes. Okay, a water pistol. Go. And if it makes a sound, let it make a sound. Yes. Great. Beautiful. Jewel. A jewel. Make a sound, and if it starts talking, so be it. Great. A single slipper. A canoe. And let these objects make sounds. And maybe let the sounds fall into language. Whoa, what a fucking lovely canoe. I love canoeing here. Whoa, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Kangaroo. A boing, a boing, a boing. Oh boy, life is hard in the outback. Boing, a boing, a boing. I hope you're making some noises at home as well. I really hope you are. Let's get some more chocolate cake. Come and have a taste of me. You want to come and have a taste of me? Chocolate cake. I'm chocolate cake. Oh, yes, I do. Find some more things. Pants. I am pants. Great, and one more. Fluffy toys.
And this one, really just do go for a sound and just see what follows and just let it come out your mouth. No one can hear you. Whatever you do is awesome. Just let it come out your mouth. That's nice. That's really nice. Oh, yeah. Oh, good. All right.
Good. Give yourself a round of applause. Total legends doing that. Well done. Slithery chocolate cake. It's Janet from Friends as a fluffy toy. Beautiful. Let's hear a little bit about your experiences from just doing that. A lot of freaking fun. Yes, good. Any other experiences from playing that game? So cool. A bit silly. Yeah, it was a bit silly. It is a bit silly. I have to embrace the fact that this is a bit silly. I loved it. Great energy, playing fun. The cat is curious about who I am now. Beautiful. Easier than the other activity. I would say easier than the other activity possibly because it was a much more embodied activity. I felt the inner critic and I kicked her ass. Nice one, Laura. Well done. The dog moved away. I need to do more of this in my life. Yes. Beautiful. Really, really nice. Being in the body silenced the critic much more than the previous game. Good. I think that that is a key part of it, is being physically, when we physically engage fully, then we are able to distract the mind, distract the critic and make her sort of go away a little bit more. When we're holding back, when we're not quite sure, when we're sort of on the edges, the critic is much, much louder. It's much, much louder. Someone saying they're too shy to do it. I encourage you to try. I encourage you to try. It is hard. You're shy because you're worried you'll look silly, but that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Don't be caged by this. You know, I don't want you to be caged by it. Okay, beautiful, beautiful. Oh, my language has gone there, beautiful. Great. So the fab thing about improvising as well as all of this, you know, it's very playful. It's very, very freeing, very playful. The other thing that it can do is it means we can stretch the limits of our ordinary experience. We can put ourselves into a playful place and be something that we don't get a chance to be in real life. And when we embody those experiences, when we play in those zones, we start to tell our nervous system and our body that we have experienced that, and that is part of who we are. So for people who are saying, I feel shy to do this, or I'm scared to do this, we can stretch our window of tolerance, our ability to step into things by embracing it and going for it. So we're going to do one final thing all together here. And I would like you in this exercise to think of something or someone that you have always wanted to be. Anything at all. The first thing that comes into your mind is right. Don't think beyond that. Don't go, oh, I thought a donkey, but I wish I'd said astronaut. If you thought a donkey, great. So think of something that you would have always wanted to be and always dreamed of being, and you're going to be that. You're going to be it fully. I'm going to give you full permission to do that. Yet you don't need to tell me what it is. This is for you to experience it. I want you to channel that, embody it. So first of all, step into the body. It can be a person or an object. There is you could even be a concept. I want to be hope. Whatever you want to be. I want you to step into the body of whatever that is. Could be Indiana Jones, could be a saucepan. I don't mind. I want you to step into the body of that right now. Whatever it means to you. I think I'm being some kind of God. I'm a God. Right, feel that body, check, let yourself fully commit to being that thing right now. Let it make some sounds. What is it that you want to be? Be that thing in this moment. Let it make sounds.
Let those sounds become language if they do. And be this thing. I am Zeus. I am a god of hellfire. And I bring you fire. Fire. Whatever it is to you, just be it. Just be it. I know Zeus is not the god of hellfire. That's the prodigy. But just die now. Keep going. Enjoy it. You are not too old to play. Great. Lovely. Good stuff. Great. Well done. Well done. Well done. Well done. Well done. Great. Really, really nice. I would love to know what some of you were. I also recognise there are some questions coming in and I have to acknowledge them before time. Do pop in the chat what it was you were or who you were and how it felt. I was love. I was a conductor. Yes. A skydiver, a singer, a hammock, a mathematician, beautiful, Aikido master, Buddha, beautiful, a turtle, fantastic. You can be that. You can be all these things. You can be all these things, even ridiculously wealthy. Great. Okay.
Hey, Liz, I have seen that we've got some questions. Is it helpful if I read out to you some of the questions that have come through? Cool. So one of the questions was, can you add any ideas about us adults tapping into kids' full attention in games?
Well, what we're doing here is quite an artificial situation because we're all doing this on our own. And we usually when we are improvising and playing, we often playing with somebody else. So tapping into things with kids, my advice is just to play and listen and just accept what they come up with as well. Because I think here we're just sort of doing it for ourselves. But when we are in relation to someone else, then we can be inspired by them. Does that answer the question? I'm not sure if it does.
Well, it's an answer. So we also had a question about what can we do to bring more of this play into our daily lives?
Into our daily lives. Well, the yes and letting ourselves, yes and everything that is there, taking ourselves less seriously. You can walk to work. There's a theory of, not a theory, I believe this to be true. So we walk how we want to arrive somewhere, right? So if I walk somewhere and I'm really stressed out, when I get there, I'm going to be really, really stressed out because that's what I've done as I've gone there. But if I choose to walk to work or wherever, if I choose to like walk with a spring in my step or to literally play silly walks, like literally just decide to walk down the street like that, you might feel silly at first, but I do it all the time. I enjoy just doing a silly walk. And the more you do something like that, the more it doesn't feel as hard or as scary, and you realize that no one's going to throw rocks at you at all. And so you can just, you can increase your window of tolerance. If you want more playfulness in your life, be more playful. Be it.
Amazing. So someone did ask about that very last exercise you were doing. They asked what the purpose of that last exercise was.
The purpose of the last exercise was to give you the felt sense of enjoying playing. The thing that we lose as adults is the enjoyment of playing. So I wanted you to pick a thing that you would enjoy being and just give you the felt sense of, I can be this. No one's going to stop me. The only person who's stopping you from doing all these things is this inner critic voice. And so it was to push us past that and just to really own the feeling of, yeah, I can. Yeah, I'm good.
Amazing. Cool. So two more questions that I've got here. Someone asked a little bit earlier on, does this, I'm not sure which exercise specifically they're referring to, but does this work wearing a mask?
Yes. I think everything works wearing a mask. The only thing that's different is people can't see your mouth. So unless you're talking about kissing exercises or tongue out exercises, then yes, it does work.
Fantastic. And lastly, we have one question about, have you got any specific exercises that you recommend for boosting mental health and positivity?
Specific exercises. I think gratitude. Gratitude practice is incredibly valuable. It's not really an improv exercise, but it is a tool. Laughing as much as possible, laughing. So finding the fun in things. Laughing is a cardiovascular activity that makes us stay alive and stay vibrant. So it's mindset, gratitude and laughter.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Liz. So just to say to everyone, thank you so much for the panelists who volunteered to come into the room. Really appreciating that. And thank you to all over 100 people that we have joining this session. That's been fantastic. Just a quick shout out to everyone to remind you about purchasing the upgrade for the Embodiment Conference so that you have access to the library, meaning you get lifetime access to all of the recordings for all of these amazing sessions. You do get some additional bonuses like audio only, so you can listen in like podcast form. You get learning lists, which are kind of like where they pick topics and then they'll tell you what presentations related to those topics across all the different channels would be useful to you. You get PDF notes for every session, so it's really great. And also we are now getting to the point where some of the sessions are no longer available for free because we've passed that 48-hour mark. So there's been some incredibly rich content. So if you do want access to those videos, which are now no longer available, please do consider purchasing the upgrade if it is in your capacity to do so. We really appreciate it. So one final word from Liz. What is your one word or one sentence top tip for embodiment?
My top tip to be more embodied is to breathe. It's the first thing to go out the window when we're under any stress. And it is the way we can change our mechanism to feel better in the moment. So breathe.
Amazing. Thank you so much, everyone. The links are in the chat there if you want to access the upgrades. There's also Liz's links for her Facebook, her Instagram and her website. And please do also join the coffee break rooms. The link to that is also in there. They are an amazing opportunity to interact with other people from the conference, share what you've experienced, share the things you've really enjoyed. So have a lovely rest of your day. Thank you very much, Liz.
Thank you.
We'll see you all again in the next Arts and Creativity session. Take care.